Johnson, the story of the day. President Obama has weighed in publicly. He's supporting the unions. Here's what he had to say yesterday. Some of what I've heard coming out of Wisconsin, where you're just making it harder for public employees to collectively bargain, generally seems like more of an assault on unions. Direct quote from President Obama. All right, Nick Gillespie, what do you make of all of this, Libertarian?
Well, yeah, this is one of the great battlegrounds, and yes. If Wisconsin was the first to give collective bargaining rights, hopefully they'll be the first to take them away. This is an outmoded way of paying public people. In states like Ohio and Michigan, I know, you could close about a quarter to 30% of budget gaps over the next couple of years merely by bringing public sector compensation in line with the analogous private sector workers. It has to be done.
Yep. All of that said, isn't it true that we're still getting back to the topic of the politicians in the past were weak and they gave in to these unions, and that's the reason why we are where we are right now? But these unions still have contracts and they still do have the right to collectively bargain. The problem is that the politicians on the other side aren't bargaining with the general population in mind when they come up with agreements.
I don't think they have a right anymore. They've been drinking the punch. Everyone's been dipping into that punch bowl for all these years. You know what? We all have to make cuts. And he's not asking for a lot.
I just want to make the point that we're covering this story. It's Wisconsin. Yep. It's Madison's Wisconsin. But we're covering it big time because it could be a template for the rest of the country. Let's face it. The battle has been joined. Union, benefits, pensions, politicians, students in school. The battle lines are drawn there. Extrapolate out because it affects everywhere else as well.
Michigan, to your point, is next. Michigan just came out and said they're doing the same thing.
Michigan's public sector has something like a 45% compensation advantage over its private sector workers. It's huge. And it's a state, not surprisingly, not coincidentally, it's broke. It's got to happen.
Six other states are considering anti-union legislation.
But it isn't just collective bargaining. It is, in the end, it's got to be politicians who, the minute that they have two nickels to rub together, they got to put in the bank and not in somebody else's pocket.
Quickly, I've got to get to the world's largest food maker, by the way, which had a very good year. It's otherwise known as Nestle. We're following the shares of, is it Nestle? Is that the correct pronunciation? All right. We're following them in 3 minutes when the market opens. Plus, got to tell you, more violent images coming out of the Middle East. But is it having any impact on the price of oil? Good question. An answer coming up. That's it. Does a libertarian have any comment on Weight Watchers in 10 seconds? No.
As long as you're not forced to do calisthenics in the town square,
Welcome to the company, Nick Gillespie. Welcome to the company. Time's money. We've got to move. 30 seconds. Here we go. What else are we watching for you? Budget battles are happening in every state of the union. Now, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is asking for massive cuts. The biggest one, ending the tax break on pensions. Lots of retired auto workers take advantage of that tax break. Gonna lose it. President Obama meeting with Steve Jobs tonight. Mark Zuckerberg and Eric Schmidt will also be among the tech executives that the president is turning to for advice on how to create jobs. And could it be the next big thing in technology? Clayton Morris will have the new product on set with us today. I gotta say, I am a little skeptical of that. What do you think about all of these things that's happening right now? Send your emails to varney@foxbusiness.com. 7 early movers. Chris.
I got them for you. Let's start with Apple. You know, we talked a lot about what's going on with Google. We also know that Steve Jobs, along with Mark Zuckerberg and Eric Schmidt from Google, they're going to be meeting with President Obama today in San Francisco. So we're going to keep an eye on that and watch. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about Steve Jobs' health. A report of the National Enquirer today, leave it to me to quote the National Enquirer, saying that he is down to 130 pounds and he has 6 weeks to live. That's what they said about Steve Jobs today. It's the National Enquirer.
He also said some 70-year-old woman had a baby.
And an alien came down and landed in Poland. All right, so we keep an eye on Apple. It's down about 1% right now. Williams Companies Natural Gas, WMB is the ticker symbol here, up big on the day. They announced that they're going to spin off their exploration and production company. NVIDIA last night, strong quarter after hours last night, but down a little bit. Stock was up over, it started up actually down pre-market, but it's up a little bit right now. This was up about 3.5% yesterday, so a little bit of pullback pre-market, now up. Dr. Pepper, Snapple Group. Stu, are you a pepper?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
I'm a pepper.
I know you are. Dr. Pepper Snapple, strong fourth quarter, 4% rise in volumes as well. And you can see the stock showing it right there. NTAP, that's NetApp. It's NTAP is the symbol. right now down a little bit. Data storage company, strong profits, but weak top-line growth. J.M. Smucker, SJM, we were talking about food costs. They made the coffee acquisition, having a hard time passing those costs on to consumers, but they're able to do it enough right now. Strong guidance from them. Three times in the last year, they've raised the prices, including last week, and they've been able to do it. And number one, Cliff's Natural Resources. I went to high school with a guy named Cliff Pepper. I doubt this company is named after him. Strong demand, though, for iron ore globally, and they had a good quarter.
I got to tell you this, too. The S&P 500 has doubled since its lows of March 2009. Did you miss the rally? Can you still get in on the gains? We'll ask one of our top money watchers coming up next. About the stock market, the S&P doubling in 23 months. Would you jump in right now, Libertarian?
You know what? My whole investment strategy is to jump and miss the train. Sometimes I miss the caboose. Sometimes I'm right in front of the engine. So I have nothing to say about that.
You're waffling.
What? No, what I'm saying is I think it's always good to be investing in the future. That's what you do.
So technology, you like that?
Yeah, sure. And one of the reasons for technology in general, and obviously there is a bust within recent memory that we all are probably still suffering from, but technology is one of the few areas that can route around the government. We have seen over the past decade, at least, a complete hollowing out of any faith in the integrity or the knowledge of government and the Fed, more importantly. Tech stocks, a lot of them are going to come up real short, but, you know, on the other hand, that's the only future we have.
So you like the idea of technology being able to route around the government because you don't like the government.
You know what? When we're looking at people like Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, I hope they tell Obama, hey, we created all of these jobs without any help from the government.
Yeah, I wish they'd say that.
That's our way. You made a great point on the news channel this morning that tech is not creating jobs.
That's not.
It's machines.
It's not
helping this job recovery.
Got to move on. In our next hour, Monica Crowley joins us. She's a conservative commentator, and I'm going to challenge her. I say the GOP needs to be the leader on entitlement cuts. Take the ball, run with it. I think you win like that. Now, what does she say? Find out 10:33 this morning. Here's the Gold Report. Higher again today, 1381, getting awfully close to that 1400 level. We were there at Christmas time, backed off, getting close again, up 630 right now. And up next, something completely different. A celebrity interview never before seen on Varney & Company. The winner of the Westminster Kennel Club dog show joins the company. How much money is the dog going to make?
From Warrenton, Virginia.
How about that?
God. Wow.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Well, when you found out that Hickory was retiring, I'm surprised you didn't say, does she have a lavish pension? Has she been contributing to her own pension?
Yeah. That was very
curious. I think she's been contributing to her owner's pension.
Yes,
have pooper scooper laws changed the Westminster Dog Show at all?
That's a good question.
I don't know if it's a good question, but
do they have the right to?
It is grammatically a question.
I should have asked.
Do they have the right to collectively bargain? Those
That's the handler.
I was so shocked when Ms. Lloyd actually answered the question.
Really?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You saw how big of a deal this thing is.
In addition to the stud fee, right?
No,
well,
that fee is
the male dog.
Yeah. So the female gets the brood fee. I don't know.
Okay. Moving on.
I wonder if the puppies are cuter if they're conceived for love or money.
Please put the camera on me. Brace yourselves. The front lines of the nation's budget battle are in Wisconsin today. We're about to take you back there for a live report. Here's a question. Just who is going to these protests in Madison and why? Listen to this.
Our teachers brought us here today.
For what? What are you guys protesting? Are you testifying? Or?
You know, I don't really know. I guess we're protesting today.
We're trying to stop whatever this dude is doing.
Earlier, sound bites from some of the students who were taken to the demonstration by their teachers. They didn't know why they were there. The teachers had called a sick out. I say that is disgraceful. I presume you agree with me, but give us your opinion.
Well, like the prodigal television guest, I've had a long journey, but I've now returned to my television guesting home, Stuart. So thanks for it. Although I am following the Scottish deerhound, so I do. Welcome. I did notice that.
Welcome.
But nevertheless, yeah, you're absolutely right. What we have here clearly is a case where the children are being pawns in this battle. The unions have every right on the weekends to protest. They're not choosing that option. They can write op-ed letters to the newspapers. They can go on television. They can start Facebook and Twitter campaigns. They can do a million things, handing out flyers all every weekend that they want. And yet what they're doing is shutting down schools. They're basically saying, look, we're going to take hostages in this fight, and the children are those hostages.
Okay, look, we're a financial program. I have to ask the financial question. Does this bill from Governor Walker, does it take money away from state workers? Does it take it off them?
Not a penny. Now, in fact, as was just pointed out, they've maintained the right to bargain for wages, which still as a monopoly, you've got to question that. Yeah. It's very different from...
Bob, my question is that the senator from Wisconsin was talking about, okay, now local school boards, local mayors will be making more decisions. These guys are captives of teachers' unions anyway. What's going to change, or what needs to change to bring public sector compensation down to private sector levels?
When you say compensation, that's the right word. It's not salary. Right. We're talking about these benefits. And originally they were given for one reason, because these jobs were so low paid that you would trade the low pay for the fact that you had a pretty much guaranteed job for life, more or less, in a lot of public sector jobs. And you also had really good benefits. Well, that equation has completely changed. In a bad economy, a lot of people would be happy to have any job at all. And so the fact that they're fighting and demanding the rights to bargain for these excessively high benefits, pensions, it's out of line with the rest of the economy.
But do you have faith in local school boards?
Often not, unfortunately.
I guess that's like what has to happen for taxpayers to start saying to the school boards, hey, you know what, make teachers pay like I do into my retirement.
Yeah. What has to happen is this. This is exactly what's needed. You know, and it's great to see states sort of stepping in front of each other. You know, Florida maybe led first, then maybe New Jersey on fighting teachers' unions next, and now maybe Wisconsin is taking the lead in this battle. But this kind of debate, which the cartel movie was all about, is really exactly what's needed. I couldn't be happier to hear the main point, which is that this has passed. It's going to pass the legislature in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think it's been a terrible 2 days for the teachers as well, in the face of the video we saw of the kids. Yeah. The teacher told me to come out here and protest. Exactly. I don't know what I'm protesting. A sign that says Walker equals Hitler. I think in the court of public opinion, people see that and say, you know what? I don't want these teachers teaching my kids. I'd rather have a substitute teacher. Right. I'd rather have a scab teacher come in.
I would like to write a letter of appreciation to the Wisconsin Teachers Union leaders, because this is we couldn't have asked for better publicity.
But they screwed it up for the teachers, because we have been staunchly defending the teachers here, saying it's not them, it's the unions. And now they're out there, and they're in the classrooms telling our kids to get out there with them. That blows it for all of them.
Exactly. You have to wonder about the thousand. In fact, I invite any teacher in Wisconsin who may have been intimidated or threatened to not speak out what they really think, send me an email, info@thecartelmovie.com, because we like to collect these stories.
Now, look, this is a
very important moment. There are actually teachers who are agreeing with what you said. They're against their own union, and they feel like they can't speak out.
The state senator, Scott Fitzgerald, just told us that this bill is almost certainly going to pass.
Isn't that great?
The governor's going to get this power. That means the unions essentially have lost. Do you think that this example of the unions losing strong Republican governor is going to be followed elsewhere in the country?
It's already being. This, in other words, it's just the latest in the line of. Chris Christie spoke yesterday at AEI, American Enterprise Institute, talking also about his battle against the teachers' unions there. And there have been reforms all around the country. This battle will continue. They'll be the next state next week.
That's good. Bob Bowden, thanks very much indeed. Good stuff. Back to the big board. Earlier, we flashed the new rate on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages is down just a little, 5%. No market reaction, down 19 points on the Dow, 12,269. Now, later this hour, Monica Crowley joins the company. Is she going to defend how the GOP is going about making cuts in federal spending? Because if she is, I'm going to challenge her. The GOP needs to take the lead on entitlement cuts. That's my opinion. Why don't they do it? We'll get into it with Monica at 10:33 this morning, this program. Blockbuster news from Michigan's new Republican governor. He wants no more tax-free pensions for seniors in his state. All rise. The host of Freedom Watch is here, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Let's get into this for a second. The governor of Michigan is Mr. Schneider. He is a Republican. He says, if you're a senior receiving a pension, doesn't matter whether it's a union pension, any pension in this state, you will now have to pay state income taxes on it. The absence of state income taxes has been taken away. You say, is that legal?
Well, it's legal. I mean, the whole concept of an income tax is questionable from a moral point of view. As to whether the government Gillespie agrees
with me. I'm with you,
Don't get off on a tangent.
This is not a tangent.
It's a
the
tangent.
The government can steal your money as a tangent? What's more basic than that?
Yeah, Wesley Snipes in prison.
But the same, but legally, but, what did you say?
It's like Wesley Snipes.
It's a political prisoner.
Wesley Snipes should have been acquitted. That's another story for another time.
He doesn't want to go there.
Look at the hullabaloo I've caused on this set. Nevertheless, yes, the state can decide that it wants to tax the income of seniors. For example, the state of Pennsylvania does not tax annuities. A lot of wealthy retirees in New Jersey are moving across the river to Pennsylvania, where their annuities would not be subject to a state income tax.
So
the state can make those decisions.
So if Michigan goes ahead and taxes the pensions paid to...
Do you like paying your income taxes?
If Michigan goes ahead and taxes the pensions of people in the state of Michigan, surely they'll go to Florida. There is no state income tax in the state of Florida, and it's warm year-round.
Reagan used to say, for all of his faults, which Nick and I are going to discuss later on, the beauty of our system is you can vote with your feet. If you think the taxes are too high in New Jersey, you can move to Pennsylvania. If you think the government is too oppressive in the People's Republic of Massachusetts, you can move to New Hampshire, where they say live free or die. That's the beauty of the system. That's one of the reasons that Florida's population is growing, because people that don't want to pay a state income tax or a state death tax, same in Texas, are moving to those climates.
Last one. In the state of Michigan, there are an awful lot of United Auto Workers Union retirees on nice, lavish pensions, which in future will be taxed. Wonder what they'll say about that.
Get to hire a real estate agent in Florida or Texas. That's what they'll be saying about that.
You can get condos cheap in Miami, I believe.
Yes,
But there's nothing illegal about this. I mean, it's a perfectly legal thing to do. You used to not pay taxes, now you pay tax.
Yes, it's a state decision. When the state of New Jersey imposed its income tax, it was 7.5% of what you earn. Make $100,000, send $7,500 to the state, no matter how you earned it. That was challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court, which said the states can structure their income taxes, their state income taxes, however they want, at any rate they want, with any deduction they want, targeting any group that they want.
Why do you always go... I'm sorry, I have to get this in.
Go ahead.
Why does he always go off on this tangent about the income tax is unconstitutional?
Well, if you believe in property rights, if you believe that you're entitled to the fruits of your labor, why would you let the government take it from you? What could be more basic than that?
Judge, would it be legal if Michigan, as they lose the last few people who are living there, I mean, it's been leaking population like a sieve anyway, you know, could they tax people as they leave?
Very interesting.
That's good.
Because Stewart and my home state of New Jersey has an exit tax. Here's how it works. If you sell residential real estate that you have declared as your principal place of residence and you don't roll it over to another principal place of residence in New Jersey, you have to pay a percentage of that sale for the privilege of leaving. What is that? That is Stalinistic to charge people money for leaving one state and going to another. Thank you, Chris Christie.
Yeah, you're right.
He didn't impose that tax.
I didn't know that.
And your principal place of residence is New Jersey. Or is it that place where you drive a tractor wearing flip-flops?
Or that other place out on the beach. You want to keep going?
I saw him in the basement of the Chelsea Hotel.
It's not taxed. They will not be taxed at a federal level, though.
Correct.
Right? So this
Correct.
Is
That's
strictly
a state, tax.
State. People should understand that. It is strictly I'll
give you another piece of information. If you sell your principal residence in the United States of America and acquire citizenship in another country, you have to pay an exit tax to the federal government.
Do you realize you're so loud that I could not hear the time cues coming into my ears? We've run wildly over time.
I'm sorry for that.
You done?
They're screaming rap in my ear. What does that mean?
If you can stand the audio level, everybody, watch Freedom Watch every night, prime time, 8 p.m. Eastern, right? It's a great show, actually. Sometimes I'm on it. 8 p.m. Eastern, the Fox Business Network. Jeez. President Obama meeting today with the tech titans about jobs. What's he going to ask them for? What can they give him? And will Steve Jobs really be there? Apparently, he's going to be. Got some answers in a moment. I repeat, it is a modest loss for the stock market, Dow down at 26 points, that's it. We are following very closely shares of Timberland up on stellar earnings, stellar sales. The stock's up 24% at $36 per share. That is a rally. Later this hour, we're going to get into the coffee battle that's going on between Starbucks and Green Mountain. Starbucks is getting into the single-serve game, putting machines in your home. Are they a bit late to the game, however? We'll find out at 10:45. We've got that story covered. Many emails coming in, weighing in on the continuing union battle in Wisconsin. Dan in Beaver Creek, Ohio, writes this. This is not collective bargaining. When you give money and votes to the same politicians you negotiate with for your contract, that is a form of fraud. Libertarian, you would agree with that?
I think so, yeah.
But it's the politician's fault, not the union's fault.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Every bad contract has two actors in it, at least, and the politicians are the problem here.
Vani at foxbusiness.com. That is how you reach us. The president is about to meet with Silicon Valley's top chief executives, including Steve Jobs from Apple, in person, apparently. Shivani Joshi joins us now. Now, President Obama, he's going to meet with the hot shots of the Silicon Valley.
Right.
He wants them to create jobs. I put it to you, he's not going to get it.
Well, you know, I think there's going to be just a broad discussion. In the way that he met with Jeffrey Immelt not too long ago, he's trying to get Silicon Valley on his side of the table to support his initiatives for job growth and education, innovation, everything he put into his budget. But Silicon Valley has a big beef with the president. They want things on their own. They want tax incentives. They want R&D incentives. They want H-1 visas for workers out there. They've got a lot of agenda points that they're going to want to hash out with the president. It's not like, oh, just create jobs for us. They're going to say, what have you done for us lately? And they're kind of left empty-handed.
Do you think the president wants these high-tech guys to come out and say, yeah, now we're all in favor of high-speed rail. Yeah, we love it.
I just think he's looking for support. He's looking for support of his budget. He's obviously looking for support ahead of a possible re-election. He's looking for support, and he's looking to look like he's on the side of business because there's been such an anti-business approach. The meeting today, which will happen in a private home, will include Mark Zuckerberg, also Steve Jobs, as well as Eric Schmidt and other Silicon Valley bigwigs out there. He's going to Intel's headquarters tomorrow to do a tour of its facilities. He's trying to seem Silicon Valley friendly. We'll see what actually turns up of this meeting.
The gentleman in the middle of the screen there, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Now, there is reports of him coming out of a cancer clinic.
Okay, so a couple of things. One, I think everyone just generally taking the news that he's going to appear at this meeting as a positive. And then after that, we're going to wonder sort of what he looks like. We're getting reports from Radar Online showing pictures, and Chris had mentioned pictures of Steve Jobs in the National Enquirer. There were photos taken of him going into a cancer treatment center at Stanford, the Stanford Cancer Treatment Center. This was a day after he went to work, a full day at the Cupertino office. This is the same center that Patrick Swayze got treatment at as well for his cancer situation when he was alive. Overall, the big headline here is, though, Steve Jobs is well enough to attend a meeting with the president. End of story.
I agree with that. End of story. He's going to be at the meeting. He attends. End of story.
Yeah.
No speculation.
No. Nope.
Thank you very much. Shivani, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Clayton Morris. He's got another tech gadget to show us. Once again, he says it's the next big thing. I am skeptical.
Thanks.
But we'll let you decide whether it's worth buying and investing it in. He's coming. The new Motorola Atrix, is that correct?
Atrix.
The new Motorola Atrix is both a cell phone and a laptop, but is it the next big thing? Fox and Friends host Clayton Morris joins the company for more on this one. Okay, now, you're going to walk it back a little. You're not saying it's the next big thing. You're saying that it is very important. What is it and what does it do?
Well, I mean, this was the big story at CES this year. And I love companies that push the envelope on technology. This does exactly that. Motorola, it looks like a phone. First of all, it's an incredibly powerful Android phone. I think this is now the fastest and the best Android phone on the market, which will set to come out in March.
Okay.
It looks like just a phone.
Yep.
It's super fast. Now, I get to work. I've got this laptop dock, which has no internal memory. Flip it up, pop it right, open it up like a normal laptop, flip it right in the back side of this thing, and all of the work that I was doing on my phone now is available right here on the desktop. So if I was on the train coming to work, it launches a desktop. It launches the same phone right here, this mobile view. I can make phone calls right from it. It launches a full browser, and I can look at videos and everything I've shot online.
So what?
Right here. Well, because think
is
about
this. Is this useful?
Well, it's useful to somebody. And I think if it's not this one that you're buying right now, think about the way in which our lives are changing when it comes to mobile computing. If you've got a tablet computer, you're on the subway. Then you get to work, you plug it right into a Bluetooth dock, do your work, pop it off, go home. We're not having to buy desktop computers, laptop computers. And if you think in this new paradigm, that's why it's exciting.
But look, I mean, that's the size of a tablet, essentially. Why wouldn't you just carry that and your phone and then use free programs like Dropbox to spread whatever you're doing across every mobile
device? Sure, but is my mom going to use Dropbox? Probably not.
I got a feeling she's not going to be using that, because then what do you do with that to bring
a
main computer?
There's a lot of geek love here, but that point is, do you need a main computer? And that's the real question. That's why I think this is really exciting from a technology standpoint. Do we need to have a computer? If most of the stuff is living in the cloud, you know, if everything's living in the cloud from now on, it gets us thinking in new ways.
All right, we're all investors here. Let me know, is Motorola, the company, going to be enhanced by this thing?
I think it is. It's all the buzz right now online. If you do a search right now on Google, you do a search on Twitter for Atrix, it's all the buzz in the tech world. Now, does it translate to consumers?
Well, look at that stock. Hold on a second. I know you're not a stock analyst, Clayton, but look, Motorola Mobility Holdings, that thing has... Okay, that's a bit better. All right, there's an
I smell this. I call this the segue of smartphones.
You think so?
Yeah, I think a lot of chatter, but flat in the actual market.
But hold on a second. The smartphone itself, $200 for this beautiful Android device.
What's the tablet cost?
Well, this is the problem. Yeah. $500 for the laptop dock. Okay. Now, that is an issue for people. Why wouldn't you just maybe get a laptop, pair it over tethering, Bluetooth with your other phone? The phone is $200. That's a normal. That's in keeping with other cell phone prices. But if you're going to have the fastest Android phone in the market and you want a solution that lets you not have to have a laptop or a desktop computer in your office, it's a pretty exciting leap forward in technology.
No, it's not. It's my toys are bigger than your toys. That's what it is.
Sure. But it's who makes the biggest waves. And maybe another company will come along in 6 months and says, hey, we've got a better solution.
And then my toys will be bigger than your toys.
Right. Has anybody got anything like that?
No one has anything like this. And again, I come back to this, as Engadget said this year at CES, it was the most exciting development and device they've ever seen at a CES launch.
So it's seamless mobile computing.
But it's cloud computing, really. I mean, because I do think you're right that everything's levitating.
Going to the cloud.
What are you talking about?
Sure, I mean, there's no
cloud right now.
You're right. There's no onboard storage here. But there's 16 gigabytes of memory here.
Right.
So if
there's 16 gigabytes of memory, right? Oh, wow.
This is what you report on every day. These are the stocks that are making waves.
Hey, I looked at that chart of Motorola. You sold me, okay? I love the name.
Everyone was making fun of the tablet 2 years ago. No one could make a tablet. Remember when Microsoft tried to make a tablet and it failed? Apple said, no, Apple's not going to make a tablet that works.
What was the name?
14 million iPads.
Was there a tablet 20 years ago that came out?
There was a Newton. There was a
Newton.
Failed. Everyone failed at the tablet.
I had a slate tablet in school.
It was a
chalkboard.
Clayton Morris, thank you very much. That was very good stuff, actually. I think you sold a few people on the stock. Time for your power report. First off, we're going to check the price of oil. We didn't have much movement earlier today, and we don't have much movement now. $85 per barrel. There you have it. Look at gas prices. A gallon of regular climbed for the second day in a row, up another penny, $3.14 a gallon. Diesel went up another cent at $3.54. We're also looking at natural gas these days, $3.88 per, I think it's per million British thermal units, something like that. That's the unit of measurement. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a very low price. We got a lot of gas in the United States. She's a friend of this program, a frequent guest, a Fox News contributor. But I am going to go after Monica Crowley. I say the GOP is not cutting enough. Go for entitlements and do it right out front. What does she say about that? Well, she's next. President Obama took a pass on entitlement reform in his 2012 budget, giving Republicans the chance to take the lead on the issue. I think it could be a political winner. Monica Crowley joins me now. Does she agree? Here's my premise, Monica. And by the way, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Stuart.
I think it would be a political winner for Republicans to get right out front and say, yeah, this is what we're going to do with entitlements. Right. It's a winner. It is not a loser. Do you agree?
Absolutely, 100%. Remember, this is not 1995. We are in a completely different political and economic circumstance. This recession has long-lasting effects. This recession was a completely different kind of animal, and now the economic context is completely different.
Hold on a second. In the Bowles-Simpson Deficit Cutting Commission, there was a proposal that we raise the retirement age from 65 to 68,
in the year 2050.
Crazy,
40
right?
years
right.
away.
Right.
That proposal was demagogued to death. You are killing Social Security. You are gutting Social Security. What? Now, that's demagoguery. Right. And any Republican who goes out front and says anything about Medicare or Social Security will get the same treatment.
Wrong. Absolutely wrong. That did hold true in the past. When Ronald Reagan first started talking about Social Security reform, Democrats went crazy, demagogued it to death, said President Reagan wants to throw grandma in the snow. Second time around, George W. Bush wanted to start talking about Social Security and other entitlement reform,
yeah.
got demagogued to death.
He did.
The difference now is that the economic situation has changed. There is no money. We are broke. And that's why the political circumstances have changed. And I think if the Republicans have the cojones to go out there and take the lead,
Wait.
Whether it comes out of the House Republicans, the Senate, governors, the Republicans that get out there and take the lead and say, here is the reality. The American people are open to that. And they're saying, stop spending. Let's talk.
I'm sorry. I got one more point and I must raise it. The conventional wisdom is that if you shut the government down like Newt Gingrich did back in the 90s, you lose politically. I'm saying that's nonsense. I think you could shut the government down right now yeah. and voters would love you.
I think the American people would like to see the government shut down, at least temporarily. And you know my evidence for this? November's election. November's election came around. Voters gave Republicans control of the House, bigger numbers in the U.S. Senate. Why? They want gridlock. They want okay. our politicians to stop helping us.
That's not gridlock. Here, if you're betting on John Boehner's cojones, you're going to be making pretty weak tea, okay, in terms of cutting spending. When the GOP ran the government in the early part of this decade or last decade, they increased spending, total federal spending, by 60%. They demagogued Obamacare on Medicare. They said, oh, Obamacare is going to bankrupt Medicare. We love Medicare. What credibility can any Republican who is serving in Congress, who was there before the November elections, what are they going to say
here's the difference this time around. And Nick, you're absolutely right that the Republicans for a long time have had a big credibility problem on the spending issue because they did go down that big government, big spending road for a long time. The difference now is a huge influx of Tea Party Republicans who have come into the House, 87 members, and they are exerting tremendous leverage and influence on the GOP leadership and got them to go up from a measly $36 billion in spending initially to over 60, up to $100 billion.
But then you got the people like Mike Lee and Rand Paul, who are the real leaders here. They're talking about cutting defense. Doesn't that have to be part of any kind of rescission?
No sacred cows, babe. No sacred cows. Everything has to be on the table.
I mean, if you're going to talk the talk, they have got to walk the walk. They have one chance.
Yeah.
And if they blow it, they're done.
That's it.
They are absolutely done come that next election.
And you know what? The Republican establishment knows this, and they started to push back against the Tea Party, and the Tea Party pushed right back. And that was a battle that the Tea Party won on initial spending. But when it comes to entitlements, the three big budget monsters, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, I think it would redound to the Republicans' huge benefit if they take the lead on this and say, well, the president has abdicated leadership.
I do too.
The Democrats have abdicated leadership. We're going to take this on.
Monica, we have 87 freshman GOP members in the House. What happens when they get thousands of emails from their constituents and phone calls? You can't cut this, you can't cut that, you can't cut this. Mm-hmm. Will they start to toe the line and become old guard Republicans?
I don't think so. I think that the pressure is going to come from, yes, constituents. It's going to come from the press. It's going to come from the Democrats. But I think that they were elected by those same constituents on the basis that they would take cutting spending seriously and actually do it. We're talking about the long-term fiscal health of this country, and I think the American people are all on board.
Well,
I think politically, most Republicans anyway are starting to get that.
You know, we set this up as a fight between you and I, and it's turned into a love fest.
Extraordinary.
You just melt.
Always, Stuart.
Kumbaya, baby.
I dig you. I dig you, baby.
Monica Crowley, everybody. Thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Stellar earnings are moving this market. Let's check in with Nicole for more. There's a couple of stocks that's really moving today. Nicole?
A couple of stocks. New high and new high for Weight Watchers and also Timberland, right? These are two household names everybody's very familiar with. These names are soaring. You can see Weight Watchers up 36%, and basically their fourth quarter numbers more than doubled for their revenue. It grew, and also their internet, that area really did well. And for Timberland, with their same-store sales up 18%, revenue beat, earnings per share beat. So great, stellar earnings indeed.
Yeah, but that's a really remarkable
performance. I have to say, the CEO, David Kirchhoff, is going to be on at 3:30 today on the Fox Business Network, so you can see that.
Wait, right? Is that Weight Watchers or Timberland? Which one?
Weight Watchers CEO.
Okay,
he's been
excellent.
On with us many times. He's a great guest.
36% jump. He'll be all over television if he's got any sense. All right. Hey, Nicole, thank you very much indeed. If you drink coffee, you're probably serious about the coffee you drink. Next, a serious battle between two big coffee makers over what ends up in your cup. Breaking news from our own Charlie Gasparino. There is a possible partnership between the NASDAQ and the ICE commodities trading market. Sources tell Charlie Gasparino that talks between the two exchanges have reached a critical stage where board members on both sides have been briefed about the discussions. We can confirm that NASDAQ has hired Bank of America to look at possible deals. This in reaction to the NYSE Deutsche Börse merger announced this week. Charlie will have more details on this breaking news at the top of the coming hour. Now let's head back to Madison, Wisconsin, the front lines of the budget battle going on in America right now. Jeff Flock, how many people turning up for the protest now?
It continues to build, Stuart. I would say inside, last I looked, about 1,500, maybe upwards of 2,000. You see people gathering as we speak. You know, we saw in our broadcast last time a sign comparing Governor Walker to Hitler. I would point out that though there are some strident voices, most of the signs look like this, reasonably thoughtful over there. Together we bargain, divided we perhaps beg. Most of the signs are more thoughtful. This has been certainly a not at all a violent protest or in any way a protest. Remember perestroika, says someone. So okay. Everyone having their voice heard, and even the guerrillas. So
all
there
right.
You go.
Jeff Flock, right there in Madison, thank you very much indeed. We're covering this story, of course, because a vote will take place in that state legislature later today on anti-union legislation proposed by Governor Scott Walker, and there is a huge protest against it going on right now. We expect a vote today. Starbucks has cornered the market on $4 cups of coffee. Now it wants to move in on the single cup you make at home or in a hotel room. Territory controlled by Green Mountain. Joining us now is Miles Small. He's the editor-in-chief of Coffee Talk magazine. All right, Miles, we cover big-name companies here, in particular companies like Starbucks. Now we understand Starbucks is trying to get into this, actually make marketing a machine, the single-cup coffee maker. They're going into that line of business. Do you think they can make it? Can they take on Green Mountain?
Oh, of course. They have such strength, such power, that they have every opportunity to take on Green Mountain.
Some people say they're a little late to the game. You don't think so?
No. They have over 13,000 retail outlets worldwide. They have global reach. They have global distribution. There's only, even though the single-serve market right now is the talk of the town, it's really only 7.5% of the total in-home consumption. So if Starbucks gets into it with their power, their innovation, they have the ability to be a game changer for Green Mountain.
Miles, what about the thought of cannibalization? I mean, the whole thought of Starbucks is come to Starbucks on the way to work. Are they going to be cannibalizing that side of their business by now giving people the option to do it at home or in the office?
Well, that's really possible. But you always have to remember that Starbucks is first and foremost a roaster. Any type of vehicle that they can use to get their coffee into the mouths of consumers is directly affecting their ability to make a profit. They make more money off of their whole bean and ground coffee they sell in grocery stores than they do off their coffee they sell in the retail stores.
Right. So that's
It's
a matter of profit margins, right? Like the profit margin then on the K-Cups could actually be larger than it is on the cup you buy in the retail stores.
That's true. As long as you have to mitigate it with the current extraordinarily high cost of coffee, but that's true.
What is driving the single cup phenomenon? Because I don't know anybody who drinks a lot of coffee, who likes coffee, who says this is a better product than when you can get in almost any other setting.
Right.
Well, that's absolutely true. It's there's the question about quality, and because my turf is specialty coffee, we kind of look down our noses a little bit at the single serve thing. But in reality, What people are looking for is convenience. They're looking for easy cleanup. They're looking for not having to keep that extra 8 cups of coffee stuck inside that pot as they go off to work. They're looking for a way to be able to justify drinking coffee at home and maybe saving a few shekels in the process.
Okay, Miles, before we close, I have to ask the obvious question. What coffee do sure. you drink? What is your favorite? First of all, the brand. Which is it?
Well...
Why are you laughing? It's an yeah. obvious question. Well, you've never been asked before.
Well, I've asked that all the time. But what I say is I've never met a bad cup of coffee.
Oh, come on. Come on. You can't fudge. Come on. What's your favorite brand? What is it?
My favorite brand, quite honestly, is the coffee they roast in their individual roasters at Costco.
Costco? Oh.
Now, you didn't...
Very interesting.
You didn't... Yeah, you didn't hear that from me.
Okay, now, which region of the world? I mean, I've heard of Hawaiian Kona coffee. I used to live in Kenya, which creates really good coffee. There is Colombian coffee, Juan Valdez, all that kind of thing. What's your favorite area of the world for high-end coffee?
For high-end coffee, I still am a big buy-in on Central America and South America. Mm. I love the rich chocolate and fruit notes that you can get from a really great Guatemalan.
Fruit notes? Come on, Guatemalan. Miles, come on. Yeah. Fruit notes, there ain't no fruit in coffee. And if there is, I don't want it.
Sure it is. It comes in a little tiny fruit, and they're actually the seeds inside the fruit. So,
right,
yeah,
you win. You can
taste
it. You're the expert.
Thank you.
And I bow to your better judgment. Miles Small, Coffee Talk Magazine. Thank you very much, Miles. Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wonder if that made the highlight reel. I don't know, but you'll find out who else did next. We showed you Nestle earlier. Well, it tripled its profits. It is the world's largest food maker, triples its profits, and that stock is up about 1.5%, 55 on Nestle. Tomorrow on Varney & Company, we're live at Daytona, just 2 days before the biggest race in NASCAR as part of our American Icon series. NASCAR legend Richard Petty will be our guest. 9:20 is when we start. Here it is, the highlight reel. Roll it. And I understand that there is no prize. Hickory won no financial prize, correct?
No, she did not. She gets the honor of winning Westminster Kennel Club, and that in itself is huge.
Are you going to win this vote today? Will it pass?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt that there's a resolve amongst the Republicans in both the Assembly and the Senate to get this done.
The children are being pawns in this battle. The unions have every right on the weekends to protest. They're not choosing that option. They can write op-ed letters to the newspapers. They can go on television. They can start Facebook and Twitter campaigns. They can do a million things, handing out flyers all every weekend that they want. And yet what they're doing is shutting down schools.
Now, the reason why we concentrated so heavily on Madison, Wisconsin, and the teachers' union and the union standoff with the Republican governor is because it has repercussions everywhere else in America. Mm-hmm. That's why we're covering it. I don't think there's a direct financial angle. I don't expect to see any stocks move on this. It's not going to happen.
No, not on Wall Street, no, certainly. But from a tax perspective, certainly moving forward, everybody is interested in this because all their states are in trouble. I mean, Idaho is already involved right now, Michigan as well.
What confrontations will we see elsewhere when this vote goes through today and the governor is successful? 5 seconds.
There are 14,000 school districts in the country. The real battles are going to be in the school board meetings a couple months down the road.
All right. Thanks very much, Nick, and everybody. Thank you very much. All right. Connell is next.
Homeowners, rates have been going up, but you can still refinance to a fixed rate as low as 4.5% at LendingTree.com, where customers save an average of $293 a month. Call LendingTree at 1-800-800-8733 today.
If we were to offer you $100,000 in cash...